straight from Israel. And today I have a special guest. His name is Yannick Van Doorn, and he's from France, although originally from Belgium, if I'm not mistaken. And he's doing something really, really unique and really special and really interesting that can actually benefit all of us. That's why I wanted him to come over to this talk and show his presentation and to share with us at least some of his knowledge so it can benefit all of us. So I hope you enjoy this show, and I will be back in a few seconds. One second. Hi, Yannick. How are you doing?
Hi, Shai. Good. Very good. Thank you for inviting me.
Sure. That's my pleasure. Good morning. And we are going to talk about the rediscovery of magneto or electro culture. But before we dive in, I think it will be good if you can share with us who are you, how you come to this field, and what you've learned so far that is so important and can actually benefit all of us.
That's a long story. Who are you? So I'm Yannick Van Doorn from Belgium. I did studies of engineering in agriculture and biotechnology in the past. And I was very interested in everything about the influence of waves, electromagnetic waves and sound waves too, and music on plant growth. And so I did some first in the beginning of the and the end of the 90s, I did research about the influence of music on plant growth, and that brought me to the influence of electromagnetic waves and electricity. And so that's the field about electroculture or magnetoculture that we name it. It's everything around the influence of the electrical fields, electricity, magnetism, electromagnetic waves, all that kind of electricity on plant growth. And there are huge applications since more than a century. I discovered in old books and so I worked like a detective to search everything I could find on that subject. And now I have my own company that I develop all the applications around this for agriculture.
To be honest, just to share with the audience, I've been in touch with you since, I don't know, 1 or 2 years, and I've been trying to fix an interview, and for some reason it just didn't happen. And somehow it's happening now, which I guess that's the right time for it, at least through me and through my audience. So thank you so much for coming and agreeing to show us and to teach us some of your really valuable knowledge, as far as I understand it. And I'm here to learn as well. I don't know much about this area or this field, and I promised myself that I will listen very carefully and I will ask questions. And obviously, if the audience has some questions, you can write them down here on the chat window. You can also write them down and ask them later towards the end of the presentation. I'm sure Yannick will do it interactively. I mean, you can probably answer questions during the presentation and also after. Is that all right?
That's all right, yes.
Excellent. Yeah, shall we start?
So I did a little presentation as an introduction. You see, electricity is everywhere on the world, on our planet Earth. You have the atmospheric electricity that you see. It's thunderstorms, things like that. You have also the magnetic fields on Earth. When you take a compass, you measure the magnetic fields. And there are a lot of research about this and how it influences plant growth. And we will go through that. So that's my who I am. I already told you. So over it. And so here we see it just to make us conscious that we are living in a whole environment of electromagnetic waves, of invisible energies, but not esoteric invisible energies. Yes, maybe they exist too, but here we talk about really invisible energies like electricity and magnetism that we can measure with devices, with electronic devices. Sometimes we can feel it with our hands, maybe, or with our sense. Like an example, an insect can see, or some insects can distinguish a north pole, a north magnetic pole, in comparison with a south magnetic pole. Why? Because it changes very little frequencies in the light that a north pole will have a redshift in the light in the colors, and a south pole a blue shift. And that's why we show magnets always the north magnetic pole with red and the south with the blue, for example. But our human eye is not as sensitive as some insect eyes, and so we cannot see that. But maybe some people can see that. And those two poles have different effects on plant growth. We see also on that picture on the right, on the bottom, a big atmospheric antenna. That's an image from old books that we found 100 years ago. It's like antennas like this. It's just pieces of wires that are connected, pieces of wires like this, or sticks that can conduct electricity, that are connected with a wire to the soil. And then this can help to collect atmospheric electricity and stimulate plant growth. There's a sound, maybe echo. Maybe it's here, I don't know.
For me, it's good. Sound is good.
Okay. So it can collect atmospheric electricity and stimulate plant growth all around. And it's very interesting. And this was already done in the 1780s, and also later in 1890s, we find back books about this and research. And in the beginning of 1900 until 1945 even. So it's very interesting, and there are a lot of information about that kind of technique. We will see that some effects. And that's one of the most simple techniques of electroculture. Just you take a pole, like you see on the picture, you put some sticks on it, like for example, pieces of wires like this. You see, it's really easy. It's so easy. You see, you take wires like this.
So it doesn't have to be, I mean, this one specifically doesn't have to be copper or anything, just a metal wire, right?
Yes, you can do that with any metal wire, but there was some research with copper, there was some research with galvanized steel, with different wires, but they almost all give good results. It's just optimization or improvement, little improvements we do, but if you don't have much access to metals or wires, you take what you can. If you are somewhere in Africa in the country yard, you don't have access to much things, or sometimes even in Europe with the crisis, they make a lack of access for everything. So we will see. For example, end of 1890s, there was the brother Poulain. It was the director of an agronomic institute in France, and he used a copper wire. He used a copper sticks and connect it with copper to the earth. But you can do it after, in the years 20s, 1920s, there was Justin Christophe Lowe, an independent researcher in France, and he used a more galvanized steel wire, and it worked also very, very good. So,
you stick it in the ground. So you make it like this, like you stick it to the ground to create what purpose? What does it do?
It will collect the atmospheric electricity, like we see when there is thunder, but. Then you see the thunder, but there is always atmospheric electricity. Even if you don't see it, it's always there. And to make it simple, you will stimulate the communication of that electricity between the atmosphere, the air, and the earth. And the plants with their roots, it will stimulate... the electricity in the soil, but the natural electricity, and this will stimulate also the hydration of the earth. There will be more water available in dry conditions. The plants will make more roots. They like that kind of electricity. It's like after a thunder rain or after a rain of a storm, the rain is like electrically charged and it stimulates a lot plant growth and plant biology and also microbiology in the earth. And we see, we don't really understand all the details, how it works, but we see that plants grow a lot bigger and better. And it's not only that they grow bigger, they grow also more healthy. They are a lot more resistant to sickness. So we will see some more about this. Just introduction. About scientific research, there's a lot of scientific research. There is a recent book that is very, very interesting. It's The Magnetic Pulse of Life. And there you have... I show you Magnetic Pulse of Life. It's a recent book you can find easily on internet. And it's quite a big book. And it's all summaries of scientific research on the effects of magnetic fields and electrical fields and electricity on plant growth, on insects, on animals, on everything, that on all living beings on earth. And when you see that all that scientific research, you can only conclude that there's a huge effects of all those invisible energies. And until this day, agronomists or agronomic universities worked a lot to understand the chemistry of soil fertilization and the physics of different minerals and things like that, but they forgot, or intentionally or not, but they forgot to look at the influence of all those invisible energies, all those magnetic fields and earth energies. But when they go, for example, to space, or they want to grow indoors, they are like forced to take attention to that, because the conditions are different on magnetic and electrical level, and then the plants grow differently too. And then they discover that they can help the plants growing better by taking attention to those fields. So it's a whole new field of research and exploration to do, and where we can invent and we can make a lot of new applications to improve even more agriculture results. I know in Israel they are really very far in high technology for plant growth because of their different in North Africa or also in Holland, for example, because of the difficulties with the climate and also with the water. There's not much water. Well, with electroculture you can really increase a lot plant growth with very less water, for example, and they don't need so much water. And so you'll see in that book there are more than 900 scientific articles on IBE Discover with, wow, with everything about plant growth. It's really and one of the huge discoveries that I would see and all that is that and very easy to understand is that they see that on Earth when the magnetic field of the Earth is a little bit higher, all plants grow a lot better. And this is very interesting because we see in archaeology that in the past there were times where all plants and animals were a lot bigger, like the mammoth or trees or whatever.
There were also giants.
Yes, and giants. There were a lot more giants than today, and also people. There are times when people lived a lot longer than today, and they see also in archaeology now that there were times in history where the magnetic field of the Earth was also higher and other times lower. And they see, or we can suspect, that there is a correlation between those two factors. Mm-hmm. And we see that, for example, on volcanoes. On volcanoes, it's known that on volcanoes, the Earth's or the agriculture is very fertile. It's very it's a lot of abundance. It grows very good, and one of the reasons is that the magnetic field is higher because the rocks, the from the lava and basalt and the ashes, are in most cases a lot more magnetic.
Yes, it's true.
And then one of the applications is to take magnetic rock from volcanoes, to crush them and to apply them to the fields. And that's what they do in agriculture. They take like some lavas and basalt that are magnetic. They are not all magnetic, but a lot are. And then they crush it and they disperse it in the earth. And then they see that plants, in most cases, they grow a lot better. And the life in the soil come again and the increase again. I even believe, but it has to be confirmed with experiments, but I believe, like what I see with the farmers I work, that when we apply that technique to bring some basalt, paramagnetic basalt, like 1,000 kilo a hectare, that it can double even more, but I believe that it can double in 1 year time, that it can double the earthworm population. So it's very, very important. It's
you mean the worms, the earthworms.
Yes, the earthworms, right. Because they like that very, very much. They like that magnetism very, very much. Mm. I even saw in fields of some farmers where there was no earthworm anymore. And after 3 years of electroculture, they came back. So it's very, very interesting. Nice. So there's a lot of new research to discover. Something else I want to tell about electroculture. Electroculture was very known in the years 1980, 1990, sorry, I in 1800, I, in 80 and 1890, and also in 1920s and 1930. Okay. But after World War II, it was like suppressed from the media and from official research, because they wanted to implement more everything that is artificial fertilizers.
Chemicals, yes.
It makes more money because they sell it every year. It's like a consumable. And electroculture, they didn't like it, the industry, because it's not a consumable. Well, once you have your antennas in your fields, you don't need to buy again every year new antennas. It's like it works forever. So, and then they stopped or they censored even the field of electroculture, because they even taken away the word from the dictionaries. The word electroculture was even taken away from the dictionaries around the 40s, 1940s. And you see that very good on that. When you look at Google, the evolution of the word electroculture in the media, here you see 1700, 1750, 1800, 1850, 1900, you see a lot of electroculture in the press, and then around 1940, here depressed. They don't talk about it. It's like completely suppressed. And then they talk about it a little bit after the war, and then it was very suppressed. And then I came back. And around 2000, and then we talk again about electroculture in the media a little bit, but not much. I was in the beginning completely alone. But you see that in the with the beginning of 2000, it increases again, and so we see that that's a percentage of the word electroculture in all media, newspapers, magazines, all media. Now with internet, there's a lot more media. But Google has like an algorithm where it calculates how much one word appears everywhere. And then we see that. It's very, very interesting that we see that electroculture is coming back, is rediscovering. And like we say, it was in the beginning, it was difficult to reach us to do that presentation. But that's because in the beginning I worked more only in France, and then a little bit around. I did some presentations in Canada, in US around 2010, 11, 12. Also in Germany, in Austria, in Italy too. Since 2-3 years, it's a huge rediscovery in Italy about electroculture and developing also. And so I was... So it's bit by bit it developed, but in the beginning I was completely alone to make that rediscovery, and now we are more and more. A lot of people are copying me too. Some are good, some are not good, but it's like this. It's normal, and it's good too that we are in a rediscovering, because with the problems of today's world, I believe strongly that electroculture can really help to bring solutions for agriculture. For example,
I have a question. It just came out to my head. Let's say you have a field or you have a garden, and you put some of the devices that need or supposed to help the growth and improve the yield of your garden. What about the antennas, the whatever 3G, 4G, 5G, doesn't matter now which bullshit generation is there, but is this radiation can also penetrate the soil through the equipment that you put in the soil?
The radiation is everywhere. the good one and the bad ones.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's everywhere. So it's like if you want to catch the radio, then you have a special machine, your radio receiver, that, yes. that and a special antenna to capture yes. those frequencies. If you want to catch the 4G, 5G, then you have special antennas for this. If you want to capture the natural energies, you have special antennas for this. So
you're working with receivers. Actually, the devices you have, they are receivers for the natural energy or natural radiation, right?
Yeah, so every kind of antenna will be like optimized to catch what you want.
Yes, huh? I understand. So okay.
If you take, for example, a round tower, it's different than an antenna like this. It's for different frequencies, different magnetic energies, because it's made completely different. If you take a TV antenna and a cell phone antenna, it's also completely different because it's for different antennas. But we cannot escape that we are living now in all that electro pollution too, and that it have a lot of harmful effects on plants too. But electroculture, those electroculture techniques that I promote will help to improve plant life and soil fertilization, that the plants will be a lot more stronger to resist to all that electro pollution.
I see. All right. Thank you.
But we have to do with it. That's the problem. Yes.
Shall we move on with the presentation then?
Yes, I hope it answered to that question.
it does. Thank you.
So about electroculture, there is the research of Justin Christophe Lowe. That's an old book that is found back from 1925 or 1927, and from Justin Christophe Lowe. And now it's re-editing in that format. For example, you find on Amazon or internet. It's that book re-edited. Justin Christophe Lowe, Electroculture. For the moment, it's in France, in French, but you find also a version that was found back in Australia. And this is the one from Australia that you can download on internet for free, or also on my internet site, you can find it, of Electroculture. That was one of the first books really about the applications, how to use it in your field.
Excellent. I just write it down to look it up later. Okay, excellent. Thank you.
So, electroculture applications. So I will talk in that presentation very rapidly about three techniques. We have the paramagnetic ground tower. We have the atmospheric antenna. And we have the Earth magnetic antenna. It's a magnet that I use. I'm looking for where I've put it. Here, the Earth magnetic antenna.
Wait. Let me see. One second. Show it again. Okay. Yeah.
So I will show some results I get with that everybody can do in his garden. There are three techniques, but you have a lot of more techniques possible. You can visit my site to see that.
What's the name of your site? Let me write it down for the people.
Yes, we will see that at the end of the presentation. You find my site too. It's electroculturevandoorne.com. It's my name at the end. But if you put electroculture and my name on internet, you find easily my sites. I have different sites too.
Right.
So those towers, very practically, that's a reproduction of the towers we find in Ireland.
Yes.
In Ireland, There are like much of those towers, and one researcher of the name of Phil Callahan in the 40s, he discovered that those towers captures low energy radio waves of the Earth, or low frequency radio waves, alpha.
When you say low, how low? What frequency are you talking about?
Like the Schumann frequency of 7.83 hertz. It's around 8 hertz, 10 hertz, 14 hertz.
Okay, this is within like the alpha brainwaves as well.
Yes. And that is very interesting, is that on planet Earth, maybe I have a picture of this. Yes, on planet Earth, every time there is thunder, There are much radio waves that are emitted.
Yes.
And it's like an infrasound, or it's like on radio level. And it's all over the Earth. It goes all over the Earth. It's like a heartbeat of the Earth.
Yes.
And all living beings on Earth need that heartbeat. It's like energy. It's like we have 220 volts on our electricity network. Nature has those natural radio waves that are everywhere.
And it's what I've been saying for many years, is that the alpha brain waves, which are connected to the Schumann, I mean, that's the main or the most important, if I can say something like that, because all natural radiation is important, actually, but these frequencies of the Earth, the Schumann resonance, and the alpha brainwaves, it's what connects us to this natural world, and we need this. And this is why the alpha brainwaves considered to be the brainwaves for creativity, for imagination, for meditation, for focusing, for getting ideas not from the logical mind. Yes. So it correlates with what you say. So thank you. Go on.
Yes, it's like we connect with the library of the Earth.
with the source.
With the source. It's like we are much more connected to nature, to the animals, to the plants, to the higher source, maybe God, I don't know, but we are more connected, that's for sure.
And we are connected to this field.
Yes, to that field, and it's like a telepathy. There was also discovered that around those towers, you have more telepathic activities, like you are with your children, with the children, you see that very good, that the children, or I see that with my own children, they say, oh, well, what did you say? And I didn't say anything, but they are telling what you were thinking. it's very crazy sometimes.
There is one question here from Ronan. He asks, what is the difference between regular building earthing system combined with the lightning catcher rod?
Regular building earthing system combined.
You know, on each building there's like earthing system, that if you have electric shock, then
the lighting catchers, maybe those electroculture antennas were maybe invented, the first atmospheric electroculture antennas, or maybe invented from those lighting catchers, because we see that where it's connected to the soil from the building, and then it's connected at the corner of the house or the building in the garden or around the house, that most plants will grow a lot better. That's something you can observe all over the world. It's like when something with a metal conductor is put in the sky and it's connected to the earth, you will see that most cases the plants around will grow a lot better. There is definitely an interesting observation there. And so this may be brought the idea to make that, especially, and put in the fields. Now to come back to the round tower. So Phil Callahan, he discovered that those round towers collect those Schumann frequencies. And other people discovered, like you say, that our brain waves are working in the same frequency bandwidth. And it's even more that people that have like capacities of telepathy or healing or things like that, in most cases, they have more activity at 7.83 hertz that corresponds with the Schumann frequency. So it's not a coincidence. It's really something real. And so that's very, very interesting. And then we discovered Phil Callahan, he began to make very little towers reproduction and to put in the garden or in pots with plants, and they grow a lot better. I have maybe a picture here. Ah, yes, you see on radishes, below, on bottom, on the left, you see radishes a lot bigger in the pot, and on the right, the test pot was a lot more little. So it can have really huge results. Huh? Another example.
Does it have to be from copper or
which material? Yeah. Important the material. It has to be in magnetic rocks, so rocks from basalt or lava, but mostly from basalt, rocks that are naturally magnetic.
So hang on. What you have in your hand now is what? I mean, this is a rock.
No, this is a mixture of cement and basalt.
Right. Okay.
Then you have the angle here. The angle, it's 51 degrees, like you see also on the pyramids in temples, and also on the towers you see in Ireland.
So you say 51, yeah? 51 degrees.
Yes, 51 degrees here.
So if I go now for a second to the pyramids, that means that if the Egyptians or whoever built the pyramid actually, this was possibly also to harness this energy downwards, right?
Maybe. We see that on the classic pyramid like this one, we find the 51 degrees here. It's between the base and the face. It's 51 degrees. And here on the tower, it's on the top. It's this angle. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's very interesting that there is a connection, that it's not by hazard, that there is something with the 51 degrees. It looks very important to capture certain energies, certain invisible energies. So the Schumann waves are waves we can measure with electronic devices, but probably there is more going on. There's more kind of maybe cosmic waves or cosmic radiation that is also captured by a tower like this.
So hang on, Yannick, sorry, one question. I go back to the angle. That means that some people during, let's say, the last 100 years, or maybe also you tried, or some other people tried, to make these roads with different angles, and the results were like worse. I mean, they were not as good as with 51 degrees.
Yes.
Okay. So just to say to,
example, in the past, when I did the tower like this, I just put a rock on top of it. Maybe I have a picture. You see here on that picture below, that was an farmer did it. He put two pipes, he put a lot of basalt inside, and then he put just a rock on top. And he had already very good results. He had like kohlrabi in a radius of 60 meters was two times bigger, even more than further away. But then at one moment, I looked at the pictures of those towers in Ireland, And I was looking at the top was always like in a cone. And then I decided to measure that. And then I saw that it was exactly 51 degrees. And then I saw, then I was thinking, whoa, that's very interesting because it's the same angle we find back in the pyramids.
Yes. So,
and then I begin to make those little towers with 51 degrees. And then we had really huge results. For example, here you see the sunflowers, really huge. There's a guy in France that have multiple records of biggest pumpkin, biggest vegetables.
Wow.
So the sunflower was like around 70 centimeters diameter, and I'm not the only one. There were different people working with those towers that had really huge results. So it's for sure it improved more. So every year with the electroculture community, we discover new things and we improve the different. It's like really a community research. It's like in the beginning I was alone, and then I did a social network group and Facebook and VK and all those networks and YouTube, and then more and more people begin to experiment and exchange, and then we discover more and more and more and more. It's really
This is open source community for electroculture or magnetoculture. Yes. I mean, you're sharing information, you're fixing results, and you're improving them, and you share the improvements. Excellent. Thank you.
Yes. I always, in my philosophy, I always do open source in the way that I explain all the basics that everybody can do already basics with their own skills and own material, and then I make my own devices that I sell through my internet site. It's for living out that I need to live to.
But sure. But a few questions. One question. Okay, let's say you make this with the tower. Does it matter what height is it?
Yes. So we saw that there is a correlation that the higher it is, the more will be the radiation or the surface that we can reach. Like with a tower of 1.50 meters, you can have like an effect on 20 to 50 meters around.
Wow. Okay. This is radius or diameter?
Yes, radius.
So this is half of the circle. I mean.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So, this is large. Okay. And what's the taste like of the vegetables?
With those natural energies, when we use natural electricity and magnetism, in most cases, all cases that I saw, the taste will be improved too.
Really?
There are even measurements. An example, I will show you here. Here. That was a research from Martine Kerel in the 80s, and she put an atmospheric antenna in the soil, and she put plants for medicinal research or pharmaceutical, like mint, datura, and she measured that there was 27% more essential oil in the mint and 57% more in the datura with electroculture, with that technique. And also the plants were a lot bigger. They were like dry weight was 20% more for the mint and for datura 30% more. So the plants were bigger, but also more dense, more nutrient content. There were even more nutrient content. And it's even Even better than that, that we have seen, we have measured that in agricultural fields, after 3-4 years of electroculture, that even the nutrients of the soil increase. It's not that the soil will deplete of nutrients. No, it will increase because life will be increased every year, and there will be more and more nutrients in the soil too.
Have you noticed, Yannick, any changes or improvements in hydration of the soil? I mean, does the soil can hold more water, let's say? Yes. Do the roots can hold more water, etc.?
Yes, too. It's strange to understand, but there is a phenomenon with electroculture, with antennas like this. It's electroosmosis. Is that the electrons of the soil will go from the soil to the sky through the antenna, and the water molecules follows the electrons. The water molecules follows the electrical energy in a certain way. And that we call electroosmosis. And then the humidity of the earth from under the soil will go more to the surface.
Right. So just a quick break for the Israelis. One second. לכל מי שמתקשה עם השפה, רבותיי, אני לא יכול לתרגם, לא כרגע, אני באמצע שיחה, באמצע רעיון, זה חשוב, מצטער שאני לא יכול לתרגם. זה אחד. דבר שני, אני אגיד את זה באנגלית. I will say the other thing I wanted to say in English. Some people here in this broadcast are technical, okay? They have technical abilities and technical knowledge. And I see your comments and I see that you are impressed. Excellent. Now I want you to take it to the next step. So whether it's Amitai, whether it's Ronen, I know some of your capabilities. Please, it's time to do it, okay? I mean, yes, watch the broadcast and go to Yannick website and maybe read a book and understand, but already just building these towers is fairly easy, you know, with cement and basalt, we have it, we have everything in Israel. Make the angle 51, do it in 0.5 meter, 1 meter, 1.5 meter height, and, you know, I don't mind, sell them, whatever, but let's make bigger, better vegetables, let's take care of the soil, because this, Yannick, I must admit that, hey, I'm impressed. I mean, I've seen some of your stuff in the past, but now watching and listening and asking questions and getting answers, it's really remarkable. And also, I know that in this knowledge that you share with us, there's also at least part of the solution to whatever the bastards are planning for us, which is hunger and, you know, chasing up for food, etc. And here are at least, as I said, part of the solution to increase the yield of growing food and to help the soil and to help the water and to help eventually help ourselves, help the next generation spreading this knowledge and having a better life, basically. So again, I'm saying thank you very much for being here and agreeing to share it. Please go on. Sorry.
to go further with what you are saying, it's like in 1919, after First World War. Then you have Justin Christophe, and he was also thinking, how can I help agriculture to improve the yields? And
yes.
Because there was also hunger, there was not enough farmers and so on. And we are now going in the same kind of problems. Yes. Because there will be a lack there will be shortages of everything because of politics, because whatever reason, and wars and everything, and with electroculture we can really become more independent in every country. The farmers can be more independent and less dependent to external fertilizers and pesticides. They don't need really them. They can do everything by themselves, and they can grow better yields and more healthy with a very local technology that they can make themselves. They just need the knowledge. And electroculture is more about knowledge. It's not so much about materials. It's all materials we can find easily. It's more about knowledge how to do it.
I'm just thinking, Yannick, let's say I have a tower and I have this 51 degrees and I made like a mold of this, you know, with cement and basalt and okay, I have it. How or what about if I put at the end, at the top, you know, in this 51 angle thingy, what if I put copper on it or gold?
Yeah, you can you can do much things, but everything you will change is a new experiment.
fair enough. But has it been done? I mean, have you tried to put copper, like even not to connect it, just to wrap the edge, the top bit, just to wrap it with copper, you know?
Maybe it's interesting because we see that in old temples. Like if we look at temples in India or in
Russia, you have all the buildings with the copper on top, you know,
or some churches or Orthodox churches in Russia or classic churches even in Europe or even in the Arabic countries in mosques, you have, it's all the same basic technology. It will take attention to certain angles, to certain proportions, to certain materials. I'm sure if we study all that, I'm sure we will even progress more in the coming years. That's for sure. We will discover.
Already, I can tell you already from the comments here, I know there's some people interested in actually go and make some of those. And just to answer a question, Ronen, the required relations between the towers parts, I mean, I let Yannick answer that, but I think he has the height. You can play with the height as long as you keep the 51 degrees angle at the top. The higher the tower, the more diameter or radius it will have.
We think it's also about the height and also the thickness or the proportion. But we have to do more research. But if you just put a bag of basalt sand on a hill like this, it will not work. But if you put like a tower, then it will work. It's like an antenna. It's like the radio antenna. It's in iron, for example. But if it just like this together, it will not work. But if wire,
yes. Also, another thing I was thinking just now. It's fascinating. In the mold, let's say you make a mold with cement and basalt. What about if you put inside powder, like copper powder? You
can maybe it can be improved. Maybe not. We have to test it. But what we did in those little towers, what we do, we put spirals inside. We have discovered, that's from research from an Italian genius, that is Luigi Igina, Pierluigi Igina, and he discovered that spirals like this that can capture really interesting energies from the earth and the cosmic and we put that inside the tower. And we put also a quartz crystal. But you have to know that in basalt there is already a lot of quartz. There is already a lot of quartz, but only the quartz doesn't explain how it works. But it's like you make a huge quartz crystal. You see, it's like you make a quartz crystal from 1 meter high. You see, it's very powerful. It's very
sure.
It's not just a little crystal, but in the tower you have the basalt that is made of a lot of quartz. So a little crystals is like the sand, and then you have also a real normal quartz that we put inside too.
Yes. Plus this circular piece of metal.
Yes, yes, but that's all optimization. In the beginning, my first towers were only cement and basalt, but with time we improved it. We improved it with the spirals. We improved it with the quartz with different IDs. So there are now more and more IDs. So sometimes when we do a new ID, sometimes we see improvements, sometimes not. So it's like that we progress.
I have already another friend is commenting here that he can actually prepare all those from copper and to build a pyramid and even to cover it with gold and with quartz crystals.
Yeah, so you can do whatever you want, but I think the best, if you want really to test, is first you have to do it with a running situation that you are sure, almost sure it will work. So you just do like I explained, and then you improve, you make a different. So that's what I think.
I think the best thing is to go to your website first and no, really, and then maybe to buy a book and to learn even more. I mean, to go deeper and then to try. You don't need to make trials and errors again because you have done it and others have done it. So let's not start from zero. Let's start from where you are at, or roughly where you are at, and then make improvements and make some trials and errors if there are, and improve even more the results that you got to.
We will continue the presentation. Here you see the basalt. That's basalt from Germany that I bought from. This basalt I put in the pyramid. And then it will charge with energy of the pyramid. That's another technique. And here you see on the left, the sound is... sorry, there was an echo. So, and you see on the beans, the two rows on the left are without, and the two rows on the right are with.
Wow. They're the
only difference of basalt. And what is interesting with the basalt, it's like a rock. It's like you put a rock in the soil. In 10 years, 20 years, the rock will always be there. It will not change. It's not like you put a chemical fertilizer or organic fertilizer that you have to put every year. No, with those kind of rocks, it will stay forever. So it will change the fertility of the earth for really a long period of time.
But here you just put the rocks on the soil, or you put them under a pyramid? This I didn't get.
I put first the basalt in the pyramid. And the pyramid is like a charger. It's like a charger. It's like you have to charge your cell phone. Here you will charge the basalt with kind of magnetic energy from the earth and cosmic energy too. And then with the basalt you have two effects. It's ideal material to be charged with the pyramid, but it's also by itself, it's also very magnetic, so it's very interesting for that too. And with the two together, you will have huge results, like you see on the beans and on the carrots that you see on the picture above. It is similar on the white, it's control. On the left, you see the carrots that are really bigger.
The question, is there a way to implement this for indoors as well?
Yes, you can do that for indoors too. You don't need much basalt. You just put it in pots or whatever. You can do that indoors too. The towers you can also use indoors. It's not only outdoors. It works also indoors. Yeah. Okay. It's very strange. Huh? So those antennas, the atmospheric antenna, like we see, so the first that we read in books, it's in from Abbé Bertholon in 1783. He has a book, Electricity for the Plants. I don't know if it's translated in English, but originally it's in French. And then you have also a book or writings in 1893 from Professor Paulin, or Brother Paulin, from an agriculture institute of Beauvais. Very interesting, too. So... And that is very easy to do. Like here you see a result on corn. On the left, you see the result on, there was one corn here on the plant, and on the right in the zone influenced by the antenna, there were two corn ears. But like on 20, 30 meters radius. So it's very, very interesting. It's like a double yield. And those antennas, The higher you put them, the more will be the effect. If you have an antenna of 10, 12 meters high, tall, you can have effects on maybe 10, 20, 30 meters around, even more sometimes.
But if you combine the antennas with the towers, with the basalt, yeah, you combine all these techniques together, probably more.
Yes, you can combine. That's what you see there. The result was only with that technique. But if you combine the different techniques, then you have even more results, because that will resonate with the Schumann waves, that will capture atmospheric electricity. It's different. It's completely different. It's different energies.
What about let's say if I have chicken or goats or sheep or cows or even cats and dogs, and will it improve their life as well? What about us? Will it improve our health, or how will it benefit us, if any?
Yes, it's for all life around. We observe in the gardens that there's more biodiversity coming, more birds, more different insects, more really, it's like nature needs all those energies. And then they come back in your garden. We see really a lot more different insects, and also birds.
It's interesting, Danik, because in the ancient world, if I can say something like that, they've been using, you know, the red bricks with the material that was inside for building, and they were using copper at the edges, like to catch lightings and to get atmospheric energy, and maybe with the energy of the soil or the earth. And in recent years, we don't see this type of structures. I mean, where we live, doesn't matter now if it's a city, although it matters obviously, but it doesn't matter for now if it's a city or a village. Where we live, there's less use of these technologies from the past, and then we are more dependent on some other cooperation bullshit.
Yes.
Whereas once we start implementing these ancient techniques or technologies, we can actually improve our health, our well-being, and invite nature to this diameter or to this area.
It's like when we see all over the world, in most places, or like in France, you have a village, you have a church, it's like a big tower, and it's like you have a big antenna, and it's I believe it makes like an energy field that it's kind of energy field that will protect against maybe bad influences, or maybe increase the energy. And we see that almost all over the world. If we go in India, you have also kind of stupas or dagabas or different kind of temples, also cones like this. It's like like similar to that kind of stuff. and you have the city around. It's I'm sure that there is really something with that above religions, but it's really a structure to protect and increase the energies. And like in our today world, we have forgotten a lot of that stuff. Yeah. Then we destroy them because we don't know what it's needed for, and then we destroy, and then there are more and more problems, and then we are more dependent to all their stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you have like yields like this that are bigger but also more nutrient dense, you also need to eat less of them.
Yes.
So you have more yield and you need to eat less of them to be healthy. So it's like double effect. And then also you live in that environment of good energies, and that makes also that you are more healthy and more and that you are more connected to nature and everything. So it's really almost only good effects that you see.
Amazing.
Because magnetism of the earth, it's known that when you walk in Japan, for example, they have sacred mountains that are volcanoes that are very magnetic, and there is the sickness that we call in Europe fibromyalgia. In Japan they call it magnetic deficiency syndrome.
Excellent.
And when you are again in contact with the natural magnetic energies, those kind of problems decrease or disappear. You feel a lot better. You have more energy because we need all that. We need also that energy from the earth.
And for all of those who are glued to their screens and smartphones, this is just a reminder. We are biological creatures. We need to be outside. We need to go barefoot. We need to be to allow the sun to wash our body, to wash our eyes. We need fresh living water. We need the magnetism of the earth and the energy of the atmosphere.
It's good that you talk about cell phones, because all those cell phone radiation and everything, all those electro pollution, creates confusion because it will interact with our brainwave activities and things like that, and then create confusion. And then we are more and more dependent because we don't know. We have always to need some external source to say, to tell us what to do. And when we are more connected to the world and to ourselves too, then we are a lot less dependent, because we know a lot better. We have good intuitions. We are like guided, and we feel a lot better, because if we work by confusion, then we lose energy. It's like insects and birds. It was proved that insects and birds, when they are influenced by cell phone radiation, they are confused and they take two times more time to find their food than if they are not confused. And then even a lot of insects and birds die because they need two times more time, and they don't have all the time.
Yes. Yes.
If they have like three or four little birds in their nest, they will be able only to feed two of them, because they don't find enough insects, because they are traveling, they are confused, they don't find rapidly enough the insects they need, for example.
And I go back to the cell phones' influence on us humans, because again, normally we should have this alpha brainwave steady in our brain, and this is what connects us to atmospheric energy, but also to the soil, to the earth, with the Schumann resonance. So we have this box here, which actually correlates most of the time with the alpha brain waves or with the Schumann resonance. When we use this phone or when we are in an area with a lot of antennas, this actually confuses the brain waves. So we have less of the alpha brain waves, which means we are less connected to the atmospheric energy and the soil or the earth resonance, the Schumann resonance. So it's adding to this. Then we obviously will become confused and we are incoherent. So we don't have this flow of life energy because something here stops it because we are influenced by this harmful radiation, let's call it. So that's another angle to what you say with the alpha brain waves, which gives us this flow of thinking and creativity and connects us to nature. Yes.
We see that with people that have Alzheimer's syndromes. Well, a lot of Alzheimer are not really Alzheimer. They are just a confusion because of electropollution. And when you put again those people in good environments with less electropollution or with a more Schumann waves and things like that, then in most cases they begin to be again concentrated and to have their memory back and things like that. So they feel a lot better and they work a lot better. So it's interesting to know that, because although otherwise they give them a lot of medication and it will not help them really very long time. So we continue for... I think we will not have time to see everything because it's too much, but we will do other presentations too. So that's Jean-Christophe Leu. That's really a pioneer in France and in the world about electroculture. He developed most electroculture between 1919 and 1939 or 38, because he died, I think it was 38 or 39. And in the past, with the old colonies of France and also from England and everything, he exported a lot of devices all over the world. And he made his own kind of antenna that you see the picture on the bottom. You see two pictures. There was the atmospheric antenna you see next to the tree, and there was also the earth magnetic antenna. I will show him in real because I have one here. I take it.
Excellent.
So that's really a museum.
Wow.
It's a very big one, you see?
Yeah.
You see? It's an iron. And then you have copper on top, you see?
Yeah.
And zinc. And all to increase the electricity and magnetism. And then it is connected here with just a bolt here. It's connected to the wire that is... put in the earth, like we see on the picture. So it's a wire like this, huh? Like this.
Yeah.
Then you see, you can put the wires in the earth like this, and then all plants will grow better. So they put the wires north-south, oriented north-south, and connected at the south side to that big antenna. That was in the years 30s in France and also in Australia, in New Zealand too. And this can really have huge results. It can, some yields are the double. In most cases, I say always like 30% more, but in most cases, it's a lot more. So I will show you. And then I did my antenna like this. It's inspired from the antenna from Christophe Leu, but a lot more simple and easy, and a lot more easy to install. And here you see on the picture above, you see on the on the left, you see potatoes and eggplant, a lot bigger, and on the right, a lot less. So is the same soil. It's just one with antenna and the other without. You see also a radish that is as big as a bottle, a really big radish too.
But this antenna, you stick it in the ground? I mean,
yes, I put it. Yes, I will show. I will show here. You see here. I just make trenches like this in the soil. Then I put a wire. I put a wire inside in the trench. Uh-huh. And then I put just the antenna at the south side like this around the wire. You see, I just, it's like magnets, and I put, it's a ring magnets, and I put the wire just inside through, and the magnetic energy will follow the wire. And the plants, we even have seen that the plants, when you plant like a tomato at 30 centimeters from the wire, they will have roots that will go to the wire and follow to the north. We have observed that. It's like really attracted through that magnetic energy. A plant is in reality also an antenna. The vegetation, the branches, the leaves are all antennas to capture the electromagnetic, like
it
a radio.
Goes down to the earth, goes down to the roots, to the earth.
And the roots even are also antennas. It's like fiber optics.
Yes.
It's like fiber optics. You have also even a light that we call biophotonic activity of living organism that emits lights. And the plant roots, they collect that light too. It's not only water nutrients, it's also kind of energy that they collect.
It's similar in a way to our DNA, which also collects this energy through light and through other means. I mean, it also works with light and with water and magnetism, etc. Excellent.
Yes, we are all kind of... we are all like radio antennas. And we are in a certain way. So it's important to be conscious of that and to know that, because if we don't know that, then they can, bad forces can use that with bad intentions and send us waves to harm us, but we can also use antennas and techniques to protect us and to... increase our energies.
So there was another question here. I'll put it on the screen and I will ask it. Do you think this technology may be designed to absorb an earth, like to make this earthing high frequencies such as cellular, or to protect people from it? I mean, can we use these devices to create this protection field against this harmful radiation? I would say yes, but I will let you answer.
yes, it's a complicated subject. Electro pollution and harmful radiation, there are a lot of different kind of radiation, so there will be some you can protect, other we need still to invent things to protect, but it's not only protection, it's also that you create like a strong energy field of the living being, that it will not be harmed by it, that the radiation will just go through but without harming.
So Yannick, question, do you normally go with something on you? Like a pendulum or a bracelet or a ring, or do you go with something on you that may...
But sometimes if I feel a little weak, then I will use a kind of Lakovsky coils or a bracelet or a belt that is special, but otherwise I don't use. In normal
let's say you go to Paris, so you go to a city with a lot of towers and radiation, do you use something, or you just You do.
Yes. I saw that when I take when I go to airports. There you have huge electromagnetic radiation.
Yes.
And you can go to airports, you have a lot of energy, and then when you arrive to the travel, you are completely down because you lose a lot of energy. And then I discovered that when I listen to music at 432 hertz, I feel a lot better because it balances, it makes that the electro pollution will imbalance you, will take your energy, and will create chaos in your frequencies. And when you listen to harmonic music at 432 hertz, it will rebalance you, and it will make that you will gain again your energy. You can also have devices that send electronically the Schumann waves of 733 hertz. I make also some devices like this. It's important to take good devices because there are a lot of Chinese gadgets it's on that it's sent Schumann, but it doesn't send Schumann. It sent everything, but not Schumann waves.
Well, it's Chinese, you know.
Yeah. No, it's not. There are also good products from China, but when you buy things that are too cheap, in most cases, it's only the package. But it can help really a lot too. Also, the Lakowski coils. I can show you one. For example, I have here one somewhere. Here. That's an old one. Ah, I found one. For example, I make bracelets like this with a copper wire, and this can help also. You just put around your wrist like this, and this can help also a lot to balance and increase your energy and to protect you from electromagnetic radiation. But there are also some other techniques, but the best is not to be in places where there's too much pollution, but we cannot do sometimes if we live in cities and things like that, it's not easy. But it's also important to not be 100% always all the time with all those devices, because otherwise
you don't want to depend on it. You want your body to function naturally. And
yes, if you feel weak that you need it, then you use it. But you need also to live times where you don't use all that your body works for itself. You need to learn to create your own force. It's like we have a force field, I believe that, and that it's the field with the most energy that will it's like a charisma. It's like if we are too weak, then we are influenced by other energies. If we are good in our own energy, then we are a lot less influenced by other energies. And it's important to learn, like in martial arts, martial combat arts like Aikido or other kind of martial arts, you learn to really be centered in your own energy.
To increase the chi field. Increase it and to make it stronger.
Yes, yeah. And that's very important to learn that without any artificial
mindset.
It's a mind set and a heart set. We need to be conscious of that too.
Yes.
Yeah. So I will show you other results. Like here, that's a field from parsnip. That's in the north of Germany, where I have a customer that, put that on 3 hectares. And you see three or five, I think. And you see a parsnip on the left, it's with the antennas, on the right without. And there was like 23% more nutrient content, more essential oils. And and also bigger yield. So it's really a lot.
Yeah, you can hardly see the soil on the left. I mean, the leaves cover everything. That's amazing. Mm.
That's in Brazil with one of my customers. He put my earth magnetic antennas, and you see on top, you see a row of banana plant trees on the left that is little, and on the right, the row is a lot bigger banana plants. They were planted at the same time, but after a year or two, the banana trees on the right, they were two times bigger. And on the picture below, you see that in the middle, they are a lot bigger, and on the sides, a lot little, is because in the middle, you have the magnetic antenna. It's really a huge difference. So when you put that in fields, it will work like for 10, 20, 30 years, as long as the wire is not completely rusted, or that the magnetic antenna is there connected with the wire, it will work. So it's really long time. And with this, with the same working of the fields and fertilization and everything, you will have like two times more results. Everything will grow a lot better.
With
very little investment, because that's antenna wires and magnets, it's not a big investment. It's really quite cheap in comparison with fertilization in the classic way. Other results, that was with an antenna that I made before. That was my first experiments in 2008-2009 with big antennas like this that I made. And there we had like the carrots were like 3, 4, 5 times bigger. In the past, he had in his soil, the farmer, 50 gram carrots. And after I put just those antennas, he had like 540 grams carrots. And even his record was 1 kilo 300 or something like this for one carrot. Also, the sunflower, like you see, was that was a normal sunflower like they put in the fields. And his sunflower head was also a lot bigger. So it's also more than double yield of sunflower. That was a kind of antenna that I made that I put all around the field. So I put it like every 12 meter around the field, that kind of antennas. But it was a huge work because those antennas are made of a big magnet. It's very heavy, so it was quite a little bit more expensive. And then I discovered now that with my new cones like this, I can do the same thing or almost the same, and this is a lot more easy to make and to use. It's a lot more easy.
But these towers, you stick them in the ground. I mean, what depth you go to? Just as long as they stand.
Those towers that I put like it just that it have to be connected with the soil humidity, so and that it doesn't fall down. So if you put 20, 30, 50 centimeters in the ground, it's okay. Yeah. It just don't fall down.
You know, Yannick, I'm thinking about what you said at the beginning, which, you know, even, you know, the movie Avatar, for example, with the big trees I'm just thinking, is it possible that in the past, A, there was a stronger magnetic field, and B, there was less harmful technologies that may interfere with the magnetic field or electro field that we and nature, we need it so badly or goodly. And really, maybe the people were larger, the plants were larger, the animals were larger, and somehow over the centuries, the magnetic field decreases. I mean, it takes time, obviously, and then life became maybe smaller and smaller. I mean, the larger species, they become smaller and smaller. I mean, it's quite fascinating to think about it. And
yes, I'm sure of it. I'm sure of that. That because, for example, even the last decades, the intensity of the Earth magnetic field decreases.
Decrease.
And you see that people are more weak, they are less resistant to sicknesses, there are a lot more problems in agriculture for fertilization, the plants don't grow anymore like before, and that's really I believe the magnetic intensity of the Earth that really decreases. In the past, even like one century ago, even if they didn't put fertilizers, they had some yield. Now, today, if they don't put anything, they have almost nothing. So,
wow.
It's really, I'm sure of it. And I'm sure that that's why we see so huge results with electroculture, because as soon as you will increase a little bit those natural energies, everything begin to grow a lot better. Everything.
Yeah. I just moved house like a month ago, and I moved to this area with a lot of agriculture land. And this makes me want to, well, obviously to try it out in my own small garden, but normally when I do something, I do it for myself and others. You know, whether it's not necessarily to make a business, but to, like this, you know, I've learned about your work, and I'm like, people need to know about that, you know? So I have to share it. And something tells me that, at least here where I live, I'm going to try out some of your techniques or technology, and to try it out and maybe spread it around to specific farmers to try it out in their fields. And let's see. I will update you. I will let you know what the results are. But first, I need to make these molds to create these towers with.
You just do that. That's the most easy technique to begin with, and also the magnetic antennas. It's also easy. And the towers, it's also easy. You will see. You just have to begin.
Sure. The atmospheric antenna, the main pole, do you need to twist it or you just...
No, you can just connect. You can just connect the wire like...
Show me the pole, the actual, how it's, what it stands on.
Yes, you can put that on an iron stake or on a wood or whatever, but you have to connect the antenna with a wire to the soil.
Yeah, but show me just how all these little antennas, how they are bind together. Yes, this one.
You can solder that together, or you can, for example, you can also use this. You can also just put this if you have an electrical connection, it's okay. You see?
So this is all from copper. I mean, apart from the main wire in the middle, this is all copper, right?
Yes, it's an example. Here I just made a very simple one to show you. Here I have galvanized steel in the middle, and here all copper. It's all copper. No. And here it's a tube, so it's easy to put on a stick or something. And it's also interesting to use different materials like iron, zinc, copper, because this will capture different energies and it will create electricity in between. And this can help too. This can help too. Because in Christoflo antennas, the pioneer of electroculture, he used always three materials: copper, iron, and zinc. Every material has some energy, interesting energetic properties.
Interesting. Yeah. I think as long as it's all right with you, I think we should wrap it up for now. I mean, this was like 1.5 hours. I'm sure you have much more. I mean, if there's anything else you want to show us about results and size, etc., please do. But I think people got the idea, and it's time to learn a bit more. Here is your website, your email, your telephone number to contact you. Don't bother Yannick, but please ask him proper questions about his knowledge and his field of expertise.
You have my website in French is the most updated, but I have also website in English and German and Dutch. But now with translation tools, you can easily read everywhere if you want. So you can ask me questions, but not too much. I don't know if you have a huge network. I cannot answer 2,000 questions.
No. For now, I'm asking questions.
I try to answer to everybody that contact me. Even sometimes it's not easy to find the time, but I try always to do my best to answer to everybody.
Just the antenna rods, this not tower, but this atmospheric antenna, how they are connected? They are either do you press them or you wheel there,
You have different waves here, for example. That's another antenna I made. And here, the wires are sold together or welded together inside the tube. And then we connect here, for example, at the base.
The wire.
The hole. No, but that's it's just one way, yeah. But there is a hole here, and there you can put a wire that is connected to the soil, for example.
But so you put it on a stick, and then a wire goes down with it. All right.
Yes, for example, that's the most easy way to do it. And here I've put also an horizontal stick in iron with a magnet. And this is magnetized in a certain direction, and then you have to put this to the south. And then here with this one, you will collect the Earth magnetic field, like with that antenna, and also the atmospheric magnetic field.
Excellent. This is a good good combination.
And that's a combination that's really inspired from the antenna from Justin Christophe Lowe. And then you connect, and then you have to put it very high, like 3, 4, 5 meters, but even 6 meters now. I try to put it always like 4, 5, 6 meters high, because when you put it the more higher, the better it will work. But you also need to be careful to not put it too close to a tree. If there is a house, if there is a structure that is higher just beside of it, then that structure will take the energy in place of the antenna. You need to put this that it's free all around.
For what distance? Let's say I have a garden and I have a house next to it and I have a neighbor, let's just say. So what's the difference, or what's the gap I need between this antenna and the wall of the house?
Yes, if the house is like 10 meters high, then you put your antenna at 10 meters distance, for example.
I see. Okay.
Around to be sure that you don't that you can take the energy. you can, if it's you can take the high, the height, and then you take the radius. If the 10 meters, then if it's 5 meters high, it's not high, then you put 5 meters away. And then you are sure you will collect the energy. If you have a tree that is 30 meters high, you take 30 meters. But if it's, for example, if you put an antenna that is also 30 meters high, it's okay. Then you can put it close.
Yeah.
Or how it's 10 meters high and you put an antenna of 10 meters, you can put it also close. That's no problem.
Yeah. Excellent. Yannick, I want to thank you so much for this presentation and for this sharing, because I think it's really valuable. And the next bit here, look, I have a friend here saying that he's in his workshop place and he's working with metals, and he feels like to leave everything that he does and to start building all this new stuff. He has the pipes, he has the copper, he has copper wires, etc.
I have I would be very happy if people all over the world, or in Israel where you are, or other countries, that they begin to do their antennas and they begin to try it out, and they send me pictures of their antennas in their garden, and then later that they send and share, like I did, also the results, to make it known everywhere and to show it. Because I believe strongly that it's by the example of showing it, testimonials of showing our results in our garden, that we really can change the world. It's really by doing by ourselves and helping each other, really to do it, not just for our own, but to help each other. If we, for example, if we need only 1 kilo potatoes, but we don't have to say, oh, I have enough, I don't put an antenna. No, put an antenna, make 3 kilo potatoes, and give 2 kilos away to help each other.
Exactly. That's the way forward.
And I'm sure that we can change the world like this, to help each other and help each other with knowledge, help each other with our... Because we will face hard times in future, and already now in some places of the earth. So it's important to help, because what in the world, I think what is lacking is really solidarity, humanity between the people. They've lost. We are lost in the material world. And we need to come back to the values that bring us all together.
Yes, and this is maybe a last message from Ronen. Thank you, Yannick and Shai, for this fascinating interview, and I think people really enjoyed this podcast. As I said, I will send you, once it's up and been coded, I will send you a link so you can share it with the audience. Again, thank you ever so much for this knowledge that you shared with us, and I know, I'm sure I'm going to try it out, but I'm sure more Israelis will try it out, and probably we will cooperate. And already I have an idea to start like a Magneto Culture Israel page, maybe on Telegram or something like that, so people can share their experiences. It will be easier for them, obviously, to do it in Hebrew, and then preferably, possibly, I will share it also with you and the rest of the people of the world to see what we do in Israel regarding this field, because fascinating stuff, and it's highly needed now to increase the yield, to increase the health, and decrease the harmful radiation and energies around us. Yannick Van Doorn, thank you so much for your knowledge and for everything that you do, really, because you help many, many farmers and many people to learn and to increase their health. And I'm sure we're going to speak very soon. I will send you the link to this broadcast in a bit. Thank you so much for everything you do. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Shai, for inviting and to do that. And also all your work of networking and to help people to share new knowledge and old knowledge. It's very interesting. Thank you very much.
Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.